up, what did you say? Oh, you're breaking up on me. Sorry, I cannot hear you, I'm kinda busy.
That was Lady Gaga. Welcome to a very special edition of Sportsy Talk. 201-209-9368. I'm here. Bronwyn's
here.
Here.
I have a microphone and everything, right?
Hey, what's going on?
That's the thing.
Long time no see.
Oh, man.
I've served my suspension.
So glad that you are back.
I had to sit out for 4 weeks.
Yeah,
because of Deflategate.
You deflated the microphone and you had to sit out. I'm very glad you're back. We are the most trusted team in Sports Talk Radio today. I am Brunwin C. He is Jim the Poet, and we are Sportsy Talk, and we are both here today.
Yay!
Yay. Oh, my God.
How's it going?
It was fine, actually. People were really nice, you know?
They are nice.
When you were gone,
I like the show a lot better now.
No, nobody said that. I did, the first week you were gone, I was kind of like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll do like a nostalgia thing.
I would listen to that episode. That was a great episode.
Well, thanks. I mean, I was doing kind of a nostalgia thing. I was kind of thinking like, you know, I've been around WFMU for a long time, and I'm getting old, and maybe it's time to go and
what?
Play some music.
What?
If you listen to the episode, you heard me talk about that.
I mean, I was a little distracted while I was listening to the episode.
You didn't listen to
I listened
it.
To most of it.
You didn't listen to it.
There was a lot of music. I was on the boards for a while.
There it was.
And then I was doing something else at the bookstore.
Oh, yeah, I know. So you couldn't get here. And then I thought you were going to be back, and you thought you were going to be back last week, and then they did.
I was barely back today.
Yeah,
because really? someone's sick at the bookstore, so they needed me. Oh, but my God. I just went like, I'm going to the bathroom, and I just left for the day.
Great. There are a whole bunch of people.
They're like,
where's
Jim coming back? What the hell's going on?
That's awesome.
Everything's on fire.
People on the comments board are welcoming you back.
So oh, hey, guys. What's going on?
Yeah, and the week before you were out, the first week, was the week that I wasn't here. So we really haven't done Sportsy Talk since
we
were since Sportsy
I think
Talk.
There was one day where I was alone just under the desk.
Crying.
You know, yeah, I think all we talked about was...
You talked about the anthem.
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, and the other players like
now everybody's into it. Now it's a
it's a thing.
It's a meme. It's a human meme.
You know, that's the thing. When I'm not actually watching football anymore
mm-hmm.
because of the conditions.
You're not missing much.
Well, apparently not from what I read. But I go in and I look up the news articles about what's happening and stuff. And all it is just a list of which players stood and raised their fists, which players on which team took a knee.
Mm-hmm.
Megan Rapinoe. I don't know her.
Gaga.
Megan Gaga. She, the goalie. She's like taking a knee now, both for the.
She's a
US.
Goalie,
isn't she?
No, she's like a.
Whatever she is, she's
not a goalie.
But she wasn't wearing the regular outfit that all
I don't think she was playing
wearing.
Either.
Oh, maybe
I think she's
right.
old, and they're kind of like, oh, so yeah, you can hang around on the sidelines as much as you
kneels,
want.
And then she takes a knee for the anthem now too.
Congratulations.
So, yeah.
It's your right as a
but that's
American
all, that's, somebody,
until
Folsom,
the next administration
Folsom,
comes in and makes that illegal.
Folsom on the comments board said, who's this person talking to Bronwyn?
I've been released.
Jim the Poet is back. Be grateful.
From the Witness Protection Program.
I'm thrilled. And we have so many awesome things to do today. We've got letters. I guess
really?
We'll have calls and
how
things.
Exciting.
Yeah.
We may have calls. 201-209-9368.
We've got sports. We've got baseball. We've got
I like
football.
Sports.
We've
I
got,
forgot about baseball.
I was going to say, why haven't we been talking about baseball? There's all this baseball. You're a Red Sox fan. And I was like... Wait a minute, the Red Sox are in first place? I didn't know that because we haven't been talking about
it. I kind of wrote them all. You know, usually I get that MLB thing where you can watch all the games, but
all
they were really
them,
bad
right?
at the beginning of the season. I was like, screw that.
So you
and
didn't
so I had no idea where they were.
You didn't know?
No. Nope. And then I was like, oh, there's nothing to watch on TV today. What's going on? I'm like, wait a minute, who are the Yankees playing? Oh, the Red Sox. I guess I'll watch that.
Yeah,
and then
the Yankees were ahead, and then they blew it, and then the next game they were up, and then they choked.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it feels like you're beating the Twins or something like that because there's just they're unrecognizable players, even though some of them are really hot. Like that's Gary Sanchez is hot, or
the Baby Bombers.
Is that his real name, Gary Sanchez, or is that a dirty thing you do to other people, the Gary Sanchez? No, he seems pretty good. I mean,
oh my God! What if they made his nickname be dirty? Like like Randy Johnson was the big unit, and that's so hilarious.
Oh, was that a reference to his
Randy Johnson?
Oh, I didn't even thought of that.
That's his name.
I've only known about the guy for 30 years.
That's his actual legal name, Randy Johnson.
Randy.
Doesn't he sound like a porn actor? I mean,
he could be. He's a gigantic person.
Well,
he kind of has that like porn mustache kind of look.
Yeah, that horrible mustache.
Yeah.
Right?
I have kind of a horrible beard going on.
Yeah, I was sort of hoping.
It's pretty bad.
I was sort of hoping you'd gotten rid of that by now. Now, that's some kind of bet with your brother. Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think he's already kind of gone. Like, he's already cut it because he's a married person.
Yeah.
Andy, I don't know if you're listening. How's it going?
Hey.
So he's like a married person
on
where
being married.
Someone has an opinion about what happens on your face in
mm-hmm.
his family. So he's I don't think he can go full
so
werewolf slash terrorist like I have right now.
Why are you doing that?
I just want to cover up. There's so many things that this covers up.
No, it doesn't, though.
Like a double...
No, you do not.
A double thing?
No.
A double
no, you
triple?
Look, you look nicer with a trim.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
But you don't recognize people's faces, so I could look like anything.
I don't recognize faces, but I can see faces.
Oh, you see faces.
I can tell tell if facial hair is happening.
Well, I think we're going to grow it till the marathon, and then we'll cut it off during
really?
The marathon. Yeah,
ooh.
You think that makes a good sense?
No.
I think it would be too traumatic to cut it off right now.
Couldn't somebody give us a lot of money right now and you'd cut it
I mean,
now?
If you hand me a bunch of cash right now, I'll shave it off in the bathroom during the show.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I would. I think you're. I think
it's pretty bad looking.
What does your significant roommate?
What
Ben,
does Benny say?
Yeah, Ben probably has an opinion.
He hasn't complained about it in a while, so I don't know. I don't think he's looked at me in a while though. He's kind of mad at me. So I eat all his popsicles. Basically, our entire freezer is filled with popsicles. And once we've eaten one popsicle out of thing, he needs a whole another box of popsicles. There's just nothing but popsicles.
What flavors?
Spent like $30 worth of popsicles.
What flavors?
He loves the tropical. See, the problem is with popsicles now, and I don't know if you know this.
I eat them when it's really hot.
The popsicle people.
Yes.
Have made it so
big
that if
popsicle?
You big popsicle has made it, so you need to buy like two or three different things to get all the flavors you want.
Oh,
so he likes tropical ones.
Wait, so they're like mixed flavors, but all the good mix isn't in one
right,
box?
Right, they have a box that's just grape, cherry, and orange, which are like must be the most popular flavors.
Those are good flavors.
Then they
those
have like
solid.
Random flavors like window, you know, car window washer, blue.
Yeah, blue. I told you about blue.
What's blue taste like?
I dated that bomb pop man so I could find out what flavor
what
it was.
Did he say it was?
He said it was blue.
Yeah,
it's just blue.
It doesn't taste
like
anything.
Citric acid flavor.
I got a box that was just red ones, so there was raspberry, cherry, strawberry.
But they're all red, so how
they're
do you tell?
All yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, because
and
I don't.
They don't put them in like the paper anymore; they're in plastic.
Oh.
So like it's hard to see. You have to really.
Yeah, you can't tell.
And then you open it, and you're like, "Oh, I didn't want this one."
Yeah.
And Ben leaves all the mango tropical for me.
Because
he doesn't like the mango tropical.
Doesn't like mango.
So there's like eight of them in a bag waiting
like
for
them?
Me. I mean, I like them not enough to eat eight in a row. You know, I want some variety in my popsicle.
I'm not onto mango, you know.
Fake mango is not as good as real mango.
Well, where I grew up, like, the only fruits were apples and oranges, and that was it.
That's that middle part of the country,
yeah,
I believe, right?
Part, and oranges were exotic because they had to come from
like,
somewhere else.
Ooh.
Apples were grown there, so, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so apples, that's it. So it was really, I was really stretching it when I went to.
Well, I was going to ask you because
you know,
they had the Civil War. Yeah. Didn't they have the Civil War?
A
couple?
Civil War.
I mean the Iowa versus Iowa State. Didn't that already happen?
No.
But didn't Iowa State get beat by like North Dakota State?
North Dakota. Do you want to? I have a
letter. I don't even know what the score was, but I was just
letter, but
shocked.
It was 23-21. It was a last minute field goal. Yes.
And it was at Iowa, wasn't it? It was like the greatest victory in the history of the
North Dakota
former
State.
Fighting Sioux. Now
the former Fighting Sioux were the South Dakota.
No. We've already done this like a number of times.
Do I have to do it again?
Yeah.
But the people who beat them, North Dakota, maybe North Dakota is different than North Dakota State because didn't the former Fighting Sioux become like the Hawks? Which
yeah,
is
it was
so
something
lame.
Super boring.
Okay, well, this North Dakota that beat them was the Bisons.
Oh, okay, maybe it is a different team then.
It is a different team. All the states in the middle there.
Yeah, they're not all the same.
They have their university.
North Dakota
Wait,
State
I'm
University.
To explain it to you. They have their university.
About North Dakota State University.
Oh, God.
That's not Siri.
No.
Oh no, I'm listening.
Okay. So
It's in
they
Fargo.
They have all the states have a state university and a university.
Yeah, I don't understand.
There's Iowa State University.
And that's a public college.
Yeah, Iowa State University is in Ames.
And the University of Iowa is in
Cyclones. The University of Iowa is in Iowa.
And that's a private
city.
University.
No, that's public.
Oh, it's both state.
They're both.
Okay.
They're both public universities.
What's the difference?
One is an agricultural land grant.
Oh, okay.
Land grant. The Iowa State is land grant, so they have like agricultural programs there.
Okay.
And things.
So like Aggie.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's the same in all those states. So like there's North Dakota, the University of North Dakota, and North Dakota State University.
Mm-hmm.
They're both.
And they're different places.
They're different places.
And Iowa's a real state and not a made-up state.
No, Iowa's a real state.
That's a real place.
It is.
Okay.
I grew up there.
I had no idea.
You gotta go see
but
it.
But losing to a team like the Bison, the Thundering Herd.
I know.
Do you want to talk?
I have a letter about that.
Oh, you do?
From a listener. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so that means that we're going to start our new segment right now. This is I introduced a segment while you were away.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've done it twice.
Did I get a memo on that or?
No. Okay, here it is. It's called Jim the Poet's Bulging Sack of Letters.
Oh, of letters.
Yes.
Okay.
So, welcome to Jim the Poet's Bulging Sack of Letters.
Of Letters.
On WFMU. And here's today's letters from the Bulging Sack.
Okay.
Okay, the first one is from Lister Ken from Hyde Park.
Hey, what's up, Ken?
He says...
Thanks for entering my sack.
He made a deposit in your sack.
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. I don't know if you attended Iowa or follow their football program these days. In fact, I can't follow it because, you know,
you're not watching football.
I can't.
You can't watch college football either?
I really want to. I think college is even worse, though, because those guys are so young and they're getting their heads ripped off. It's sad.
They bounce right back up.
I can't.
I'm just going to play the North Dakota State theme song underneath this.
Okay, go ahead.
Maybe. You just keep reading.
I don't hear it. They played the North Dakota State University Bison. Ba, 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 ba. Go, go, North Dakota Bison. Go, go on the plains. I'm just making this up. I don't know. Do they have words?
We are the pride. Proud and loyal are we. And we'll fight, rah-rah, yes, we'll fight, rah-rah, for North Dakota State, you team. That can't be the real lyrics. Cheer for the Bison. Hit him again. Cheer for the Bison.
Hit him again. See, that's wrong.
Hit him in the face and give him a concussion. North Dakota State Bison. I'm sorry, I didn't know that was going to be so distracting for you.
They played the North Dakota State University Bison from the FCS division. Okay, FCS division, right? I'm like, what?
Is that a third?
No, that's a thing. That stands for Football Championship Subdivision.
Okay.
It's formerly what was called 1AA.
Right.
Those are the teams that have playoffs for their championships of their leagues. Right.
Yeah. So you're not like going for the national championship. You're going for the 1A. Like the Ivy League is a separate thing, and the 1A is a different thing.
Yeah. So they're an FCS team.
Mm-hmm.
Division the other day and lost 23-21, much to the embarrassment of their loyal fans, the Iowa fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, any given Saturday,
yeah,
you could lose to anybody. I mean, that happens a lot of times.
Ostensibly, yeah. But Iowa is a FBS team, a football bowl subdivision.
Right. They're in the big game.
Yeah, they go to bowl games.
Yeah.
They go to bowls.
They could go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, they have gone to the Rose Bowl.
I'm sure they have.
Yes. Before the game, WHO-TV sportscaster Andy Fales mocked the Bison, and suggested they call off the game. And then there's a link. Listener Ken sent me to the link. And then he says, after the win, he made a cheesy apology video. And then he sent me the link for that.
Well, it is weird because they, you know, even the big teams, mm-hmm, the first couple of weeks of the football season are not that exciting because most of the time it's like 70-point blowouts by like Ohio State over, you know, some school that has no business playing Ohio State or whatever.
That's what they schedule those games early
to like to buff up your you get 10 or 11-0 or whatever
it is. To get the bowl bound teams like kind of pumped up, right? So these guys are just like cannon fodder. So they're not supposed to win, but they won. They won. So Ken says, such is the world of broadcasting mockery, eh? And I wouldn't know about broadcast mockery.
We mock all the time.
No, we never do.
We mock the Mets.
I'm always serious about the Mets.
About how you hate them.
About how I like to set them on fire. That Wentz kid is pretty good, too, it seems.
He's from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, he was from North Dakota State. And that's why
Wentz was from North Dakota State?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
That's why everybody was like, oh, you shouldn't take him, you shouldn't draft him.
He's been playing pretty good.
He's been playing fine. They're 2-0.
He's better than the last five Eagles quarterbacks.
I know, right? Aren't the Eagles 2-0?
I believe
they are, right?
I have not been keeping track of it. I didn't watch last night.
Well, I didn't watch last night either because I can't watch them, but I know that happened. So they said that he had itty-bitty hands.
I have that too. Tiny hands. Tiny everything.
You're so weird.
Tiny all around.
Stop it. And they said that he'd only played at North Dakota State, and he had never played in a real...
But all those guys have a real chip on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. That's like Wes Welker or
was he from one of those
Edelman?
Was he from one of those bitty ones?
I'm going to say he is. He's got little bitty hands.
He's got...
little bitty hands.
Full of money and
If he had just
molly.
Caught one pass, the Patriots would have won another championship. Instead, he dropped it, and the Giants won another one.
Ha-ha.
Is that the end of Jim's ball sack full of letters?
No, we have many.
How many letters are there?
I'm telling you, we get a lot.
People put actual stamps on these?
Well, actually, we had one last week that had a stamp, yes.
Was it from a prison?
No. We had one that was from, if you would listen to those shows that you said you listened to.
I was going to.
You would know all about this.
I was going to do that.
The listeners know all about it. I'm not going to go over it again on the air. Okay.
I'll rely on them, too.
Okay, so listener Rick wrote,
mm-hmm,
and he said, please don't go.
Please don't go.
This is being selfish of me, I know. I just did some catching up with Sportsy Talk in the archives today, and in your recent lone appearance, you made it seem as if you may have had enough. If you go, the airwaves will be lacking one of the more gracious,
yeah,
thoughtful, I mean, intelligent voices.
Forget
in the
it, man.
Medium. That's so sweet. Thank you, listener Rick. That's very nice.
Yeah, Rick. I mean,
I was having the whole nostalgia thing. I was talking about being old and being here too long,
well,
and people
it's
leaving.
It's JonBenet's. It's JonBenet's like 20th anniversary of the
the killing.
The
yeah.
killing of the mm-hmm. what's her name?
JonBenet.
Whatever her name is.
Ramsey.
Dealey.
JonBenet Ramsey.
And they still can't figure out who it is. I met that Mindhunter guy.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he did an event at my bookstore
a while
ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember when he had his book
He was
book
like,
out.
I just couldn't decide which one of those guys did it. But one, I know one. Of, I know either the father or the wife did it, but I have no idea who.
Yeah.
I think it was like a, they when both people are inside of a delusion with each other. But like they were like unshakably great at like being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were just like
they,
completely in their own little like crazy world. But
yeah.
I think she wrote the letter with her left hand, A.
Yes.
And then they must have both been in it.
I think so.
I think a lot of people killed her because they might have been intruders. Might have come and killed her too. Like there might have been like a big murder party.
They might have had a whole bunch of people.
Like let's do like a child sacrifice in the basement or something like that.
They might have been having all kinds of things going on with that little girl. You know.
But you can't. You can't. I mean, I'm hoping that you won't leave the show. And now we've.
No, I'm not going to leave the show.
We've re-upped at least until.
Well, that was the thing.
June of 2017.
We re-upped. We got back on the schedule.
We're back.
And we immediately didn't do the show for 3 weeks.
We didn't do the show for like 3 weeks. We couldn't get a fill-in for the. Tuesday thing, so I was just me, I think.
So I have two more letters in.
Oh yeah.
In
Thank
Jim
you for
DePaul's bulging sack
putting my
of letters.
Sack full of messages.
Messages. So, oh, Lister Cat in Chicago in the comments board says sad baby eyes and little baby.
She
hands.
Was in town again.
I know, and she didn't tell us. I walked
didn't,
right by.
She's, like she must have passed me on the street like
was,
six times.
I
didn't
was,
say hi.
I was going right past where she was, and I didn't know she was there. So anyway, she didn't know I was there. She should tell us when she's there. All right. So here is from listener Sebastian.
Hey, Sebastian.
And
is Sebastian in another country?
Yes. Listener Sebastian is in Germany, and he, in fact, is the listener who sent us this wonderful fluid that we are now going to...
Vielen Dank.
Yeah, vielen Dank.
Whoa, wait a minute.
This is called...
Is that vodka?
No, it's called Chibiso.
Chibiso.
And I opened it last week, I guess, and I didn't know what it was for sure. I thought it was some kind of mineral water, and actually it says right on it that it's limonada.
So it's like lemon drink, like 7-Up or something
okay,
like that?
Okay, but he's describing it here in his letter.
You're unwrapping some sort of gauze that was around it there.
I was trying to get it colder.
Because
he says to drink it cold. Okay, so this is Chibiso, and he says...
is it in German that he wrote it?
No, he's extremely fluent in English.
Ah, because ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch.
Yeah, I know. Ja, ich auch, aber nicht so viel.
Nein, so, that's sehr gut.
I don't think so. Okay, so. He says it's actually lemonade, not water. Chibiso is a lemonade flavored with lactic acid.
There's nothing like quite like lactic acid.
In your lemonade.
Dare lactic acid.
It was invented around 1900 by a chemist, Ernst Büchler, who had read that the people in Bulgaria and Romania grew to extraordinary old age because they consumed lots of sour milk products like yogurt and kefir. So maybe listener... Sebastian heard me talking about how old I was getting, and he wanted to make me live longer, so he sent me a lactic acid.
You're not pushing 100.
Around the same time, the chemical company C.H. Boehringer and Sohn, that's where the name comes from, C-H-B-E-S-O, had invented a way to industrially produce lactic acid. And they started to make Chibiso, which was very successful, until about 1960, by which time they couldn't keep up with the competition from Coke, Pepsi, and so on.
Right.
Name and recipe were later bought by a small Bavarian brewery who are producing it again since 2006, but it's not widely marketed today. Some facts about the company that is today named Boehringer, together Boehringer Ingelheim, and a multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical company. This is the original company that produced this.
Oh.
In World War II, they had at least 1,500 forced laborers working for them.
Delightful. Concentration camp members, you mean, soldiers.
In 1954, they hired convicted war criminal Fritz Fischer, fresh out of jail, who had conducted medical experiments at a concentration camp.
Delightful.
He worked for Boehringer until he retired in the 1970s.
And now he works for the Trump administration. They
supplied Dow Chemical with tons of one of the key components of Agent Orange. A Boehringer factory near Hamburg was leaking toxic waste in the ground there for years until it was finally shut down in 1984. By the latest estimation, the soil there might be okay again in 2094.
2094?
Yes.
See, that's a long way away.
It is.
So we're going to drink this on the air?
This is our toxic lemonade that we're going to have.
It looks pretty good.
Okay, I brought mixers.
Oh, good.
So we're going to try it with mixers. Now, I suggested that we try it with vodka.
How many cups did you bring?
Well, so we're going to try different ways.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so one, and listener Sebastian said, and I also brought cups for John, call screener John.
Call screener John.
Mm-hmm. Listener Sebastian said that actually the way you drink it is you mix it with beer.
Right.
So I guess that would be
like
a shandy.
Hoochie thing, yeah, shandy
yeah.
or something
uh-huh.
like that.
So let's try.
Do we have beer?
Yeah, I brought beer.
Good.
I brought vodka.
Is it any of these things?
Ready.
Have you tried this off the air?
No.
So they could all be vile for all we know.
Yeah, we don't know. We have
See,
no
I,
idea.
My dream is to someday buy mm-hmm. either Moxie or RC Cola is my
and
other
have
favorite.
It taste good.
And just yeah, I don't
Moxie's
know.
Moxie's terrible.
Just own a you know, liquid of some kind.
Here, your own liquid.
That's straight. Straight, no chaser.
Okay, we've got the thank you, listener Sebastian. Here's to you. What do you say, Skoll?
I think I don't know if they say that in Germany.
Oh, whatever they
I don't,
say.
Proust?
In Proust.
I can't remember.
Proust.
It's delicious.
No, it's not bad. It would be.
Is
better.
It flat?
No, it's just not.
It tastes a little like.
It's not super cold. I wanted it to be colder, but we didn't have a lot of.
It tastes
time
a little like what do you call it? Soda water or
seltzer.
What's the other one? The one that has the quinine in it or whatever.
Oh, tonic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does taste a little, because it's slightly bitter because of the lactic
yeah,
acid.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know. It's pretty tasty. How much did he give us? These two bottles?
Mm-hmm.
That must have cost a lot of money to send
and
us.
And he sent them to us. I know. And you know, the other thing is that he's done it before. He actually sent us these before and we didn't get them. So this
yeah,
because
someone
second.
Drank them here at the studio or something.
I don't know. Somebody opened
it.
Somebody opened
like
it up or something. I don't know. Or it disappeared in transit. But yeah, pretty good. We like it.
Verschwinden.
Yeah.
No, verschwinden means disappeared.
Yeah.
These are the only.
It disappeared.
I took
because
4 years
it.
Of German. That's the only words I remember. Like,
verschwinden. Wir trinken Chabiso.
Mm.
Is that how you say Chabiso?
Es ist sehr gut.
Chabiso.
Vielen Dank.
Vielen Dank. So now we're gonna try mixing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you want to... Let's go with beer first, because apparently that's the traditional thing.
I like traditions. What kind of beer did we get?
Just something... The last one...
German
was,
beer? A
no,
Lavenbräu?
No, something weird. Montauk Hop Blonde Ale. In a can.
Hot Blonde?
Hop Blonde.
Oh, Hop Blonde.
It's not very good.
Oh, good.
It's...
That'll make this better.
Yeah, it's kind of...
Most of these blondie hoppy... When it has hop in the title, you know it's just like a beatdown
yeah.
of hops.
Yeah, it's not
It's just like we had a bunch of hops left over, we pushed it into a vat.
Mm. Here we go.
Hop brown! This is now...
Okay, now it's about half and half, chorizo and
That just
and Montauk.
Smells like straight urine. That's nice.
It's refreshing.
Yeah, it's pretty good for a hot summer day. Watching a little baseball.
Yeah.
Watching the Yankees lose four games in a row to the Red Sox.
Eating bacon on a stick at Yankee Stadium, drinking Chibeso and
What was that
Montauk
thing you showed
ale?
Me? You tweeted out yesterday. It was like some kind of pork rinds.
They have like a hot...
Pork rinds wrapped in an aneurysm or something like that.
Yeah, it's like a hot dog wrapped in, what was it, pulled pork? Covered in pork rinds, and I don't know.
I've already gained like 10, 15 pounds. I want to get fatter and fatter because, you know, I wear that Santa Claus outfit for most of December. And now I have a crummy-looking beard. Let's go with it. Crummy-looking beard.
Why are you so negative about yourself?
Because I'm ugly.
You are not. 201-209-9368. Call us and talk to us. about this stuff. Anyway, this is pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Do you want to try mixing it with vodka?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get wasted on the air. Let's get. This is a part of the show called "Let's Get Wasted in Jim's Ballsack."
That's not what it's called.
That's not what it's called.
Jim the Poet. Jim the Poet. Bulging sack.
Bulging sack.
Of letters.
Of letters.
Yeah.
Okay. That's. I mean, it's, it just glides right off the tongue.
It does.
Not a problem.
You didn't. I mean, it's a whole new thing. It's been going on for weeks.
Delicious.
I didn't even know.
I had no idea.
No.
I mean, I listened to the first show. I was at an empty lobby. Where I'd spent most of the day not selling books to anybody.
Yeah.
And then the second show I started to listen to and then I fell asleep.
Jeez, that's what happens with listener Laura.
I know.
She falls asleep to our show.
Yeah.
I wonder.
I was watching my fish swim around.
I forgot to ask her how she's been sleeping lately now that, you know, we haven't both been here.
She can call 201-209-9368.
Well, so do you think this tastes toxic or like Cyclon B or anything?
I mean,
it's, you know.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
I mean, a little bit. It doesn't mix that.
It doesn't mix.
Didn't
that
mix
well.
All the way. There's like one. Yeah, there was beer on the top, and now there's Cyclone B on the Brahm or whatever.
There you go. And we have a second letter from listener Sebastian.
Sad boozy eyes.
He says he hasn't tried mixing Chibeso with anything other than beer, 1-to-1. Tastes like Radler, as we call it, which means cyclist, and is usually made with beer and lemon lemonade. But I guess anything goes with vodka.
Yes.
I'm gonna send him something in return. I'll tell you.
What do we have?
I'll tell you off the air.
Celery.
No. Actually, that would be good. Celery.
Yeah, I mean,
celery. Let's see. And then I asked him about the fantasy football, so we can talk about fantasy.
Oh
football.
Yeah. How am I doing? I think I'm winning.
You own like all the teams. You have like you're like Danny D was that the first time we did fantasy.
Well, you didn't want to participate.
Okay, on the Sportsy Talk, this program on WFMU,
yeah.
We do a contest for our listeners where we set up a fantasy football league. Jim is the commissioner because he knows how to do it, and I don't. And then
everybody
picks a team. The listeners can sign up for free and have a team and compete.
Right.
And at the end of the season, the person whose team has won.
I think Bronwyn won one football. Year and I won the other year, right?
Yeah, I know, pretty much.
So, like, you know.
But
it gives you the chance to get wiped out by us at fantasy football.
No, but Studio B Ben won.
No, he won something else, didn't he? He won the
March
NCAA.
Madness.
He won March Madness.
Right.
I think you won one year and I won the other year.
Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah. Well, that's too bad. Well, then it's good that I'm not in it this year. But the idea is that somebody will win, and then they'll be, then they'll get to come in and co-host the show with us.
That's an awesome responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To whoever will win such a thing.
Yep.
But I have no idea how we're doing because I didn't look today. I beat somebody.
But what about the other people? What about the listeners?
I mean, we
should tell the listeners how they're doing.
Oh, you're probably losing. I got to be honest with you.
Okay, listener Sebastian is
in. Did I beat him this week?
I don't know, but I beat him. He's in, and what he did was he picked his team.
Mm-hmm.
He participated in the draft. He picked his team by looking for alliterative names. So he has Amir Abdullah, Tyrod Taylor, Wes Welker.
Wes Welker's not even in the league.
He said that's what he said.
Wes Welker was, did you see the, you didn't maybe see this.
What?
So there's been somebody showing up at Patriots games with a creepy Tom Brady mask, like a real rubbery one.
Yeah.
It's Wes Welker. He took it off. He was hanging out with some.
Oh, no, it was him?
It's Wes Welker.
Why is he doing that? Is he crazy?
Because he's insane from getting hit in the head so often.
Well, and also from all that Molly he was doing.
Yeah, he's probably still on the Molly.
Man.
So, it's Wes Welker. So,
it's
like,
Wes Welker.
He takes off the creepy mask that already looks like Tom Brady.
And then he's creepy underneath.
And it's like, wait a minute, aren't you Wes Welker? And he's like, yeah, man, what's up? Remember he was all jacked up at the Kentucky Derby just handing out money to people and stuff like that?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, dude, relax.
He's nuts.
You probably want that money back right now
because
you don't have a job. We get him on the show.
I disagree. Listener Sebastian is happy that we're getting soused on the air, but we are not because actually the amount
I come drunk.
Yeah, and the amount of alcohol that we've had is about half of a beer split between us.
I mean, that's enough to get me under the table. No problem.
No, sir.
I am just wasted.
Now, are we going to open this whole other one? No.
Yeah, what? We could leave it in the refrigerator upstairs and drink it next week.
Well, if it's still there. Okay, let's try the last bit of this one with some vodka.
All right.
All right. All right.
That looks like the backwash.
Yeah, I know. It's a strange flavor. I don't know. I mean, it is a lemon. It's like a lemon seltzer, except it has that lactic acid flavor.
You feel that little, yeah, that little lactic kick.
But you were right. I mean, at first it is kind of like tonic because it's fizzy and has a little bitterness to it.
It's a little bitter.
Do you think you can buy this in America?
Yeah, there's all those stores, the import stores or whatever like that, yeah. Fancy stores you can probably get it at.
Hmm.
There's a German word for everything, and I think there's a German word for when you hooch it up, like those two things together. Like German people like love beer and then love cutting it with other things. Yeah, what is that?
It's a Lexi brand vodka. Yikes, it says on the label.
I think you wrote the label.
I did write the label. I did write the label. This is, they were throwing out some vodka where I work.
Yeah.
And it was like Alexi, they had this giant bottle that said Alexi vodka on it, and they were throwing it out.
Yeah.
So I poured it into this bittier bottle, which used
yeah,
to
that
be,
seems fine.
Used to have, what did this be?
John Crown Royal or something like that?
Yeah, something, some kind of thing. And I have had some of it.
Today?
But not today, no, in the
you
past.
Sure?
No.
I don't.
I'm not a big vodka drinker. I don't really drink vodka.
We drink, it's called vodka.
Vodka?
It's W-O-D-K-A. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very cheap. It's like $10 for, you know, a goodly size amount of it. And it tastes like rye a little bit. Like it's got a rye
really?
Kick to it. Yeah, yeah. It's from Poland.
Is vodka supposed to taste like anything?
No.
Oh.
That's
okay.
Why it's so cheap, I think.
Oh, okay.
But it's pretty good, actually.
Here. All right. Well, anyway, this is a tiny bit of vodka.
Tiny
Alexi
bit of vodka,
which looked pretty terrifying in its original container.
Really? Is it scary kind of vodka?
Well, it looks really cheap and nasty, yeah.
It's like
no offense to the Alexi.
It's like toilet vodka?
Pretty much.
You make it in the top part?
Ew.
Mm.
Okay, so
oh, that's nice.
Really? Cerveza with vodka?
Oh, yeah.
It's not. I haven't tasted it yet. All right. Yeah.
Makes me forget all my troubles.
Ah! Are you kidding?
By the way...
You're kidding, right?
I'll drink
the rest
of it.
Do you like this?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Oh. It needs ice or something. It needs to be colder.
You think it needs to be colder?
This needs to be colder, yeah.
I'll drink the rest if you want.
Oh, you're Lexi. You're an alcoholic.
I know, I have a problem.
I don't think you should drink the rest.
I didn't drink for 10 years.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Now
why
I'm just making
start?
Up for
why
it now.
Why did you start again?
Because life is sad.
Yeah, but it's not any happier if you're drinking.
No, but you black out at a certain point so that you don't remember how bad it is.
Jesus. Why don't you just fix your life?
No, that
no?
sounds like... I usually just run away from my problems.
Oh.
But it's harder now because, you know...
Because you're employed really, and you have a place to live. And
yeah, I know.
Stuff
Ben will be mad.
Oh,
if
yeah.
I don't know where I would go. The woods or something? Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
We have a lot of clues on the... comments board about what to do with cheap vodka. Listener Dale says put it through a Brita filter.
What does that do?
I don't know. I guess it would get rid
I always
of the
wondered
rye
if,
flavor.
I always wondered what would happen if you put like if you made coffee with vodka, like a little bit of vodka in the coffee
and just
blew it through the thing, what would happen?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Why wouldn't it be hot?
Probably.
I mean,
you could do sake does cold and hot and whatever. I mean, I'm sure some people drink it hot. Eskimos or something like that.
Hot vodka. Eskimos don't drink vodka. I don't think.
What if a bottle comes floating over the Bering Sea?
I don't know.
Probably drink it.
I guess it would.
Delicious.
Right. So thank you.
By the way, drinking on the air.
Yeah.
There's an election coming up.
Oh, yeah.
In November. And you have us, the most trusted team in sports and...
Talk radio today.
Politics, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. We didn't get... We didn't get credentials for the debate.
We did not.
I thought we were going to go to the debate next Monday. I thought we were going to be
We could still go, but I mean, we don't have any.
We can't get in. I mean,
no, we could just like do keg stands outside or something like that.
No,
we could just be like, hey, are you Donald Trump? Is this Hofstra University?
What's wrong with your daughter, Tiffany? Why don't you love her?
Yeah, why don't you like all your kids?
What's the matter?
Why do you want to sleep with your daughter?
Oh. She's hot.
Yuck. So we'll be covering the during the final election of the United States of America. We'll be live
ever.
With election coverage you can count on
here
at WFMU.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. all night long until...
That is... When is that? That November 8th or 7th or 6th?
I'm going to say it's a Tuesday.
Days. It's a Tuesday in November, the first Tuesday in November. We will, since our show is on Tuesday...
We'll do our show, and then we'll go downstairs to the bunker.
Yeah, and then something's going to happen.
We'll broadcast until the troops start, you know, marching down Jersey City.
And people will be invited. The listeners can come in.
Come on down. And
we'll have a Sportsy Talk tailgating last
I'm sure it will be insanely depressing. Something terrible will happen, and we'll feel bad.
Is anybody calling us today?
Maybe the phone's unplugged. Someone should call us just to see if the phone's working.
201-209-9368. Politics is a sport, says Carmichael.
It doesn't feel like a sport this time around. Usually
it's
fun.
It doesn't feel fun.
It's not fun.
It's terrifying.
It's
bad. I don't like anybody.
I don't.
I was going to vote for Johnson Weld, and then I found out that Gary Johnson is a pot-smoking idiot, and I don't
Is that a problem?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's an idiot, and he's a pot-smoking
but
idiot.
But Weld used to be my governor in Massachusetts.
Great, right?
Yeah, he's a pretty smart guy.
I'm sorry, Weld's
I mean, he wrote
kind
of crappy mysteries. I remember him, like, he was post-governor. He was kind of
a writer then.
I mean, he knows how to write. He's a smart person. He used to be like an assistant attorney general of the United States or something like that under Ed Meese, if you can imagine.
Meese. I'd forgotten all about him.
Remember that guy?
No, I'd forgotten about him. That's awesome.
My goodness, what a piece of garbage. Mm-hmm. But Weld is like a real thoughtful, actual good person that I voted for maybe once, possibly twice.
I would say that
it's got a. This has an aftertaste of some kind.
Yeah, it's not bad with vodka, though. Vodka's all right with it.
Yeah, we made some of that hop blonde
ale. Montauk brand.
Hop Montauk. Mm-hmm. By the way, and you have some News of the Dead.
Oh, yeah. Do you have the News of the Dead music?
Yeah.
Thank you. This is baseball News of the Dead. Can you turn the music down?
Yeah,
just a touch.
Hey,
okay,
choir,
good.
Take it down a notch.
Perfect. Okay. News of the Dead in baseball news. W.P. Kinsella. He wrote Shoeless Joe.
Which became...
which became Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
I never saw that movie except bits and pieces of it on TV. Like, I've never seen it all the way through.
It's a pretty good movie.
Is it? It seems kind of...
I mean, it fetishizes the Red Sox a little bit.
Yeah, it seems
kind of... It's a little dated, but I mean, almost any... Kevin Costner movies, kind of a pretty good movie to see. He's a very likable guy all the time.
Yeah.
Like
but
he's rarely unlikable.
The thing that bothered me about it was an Iowa farmer, you know, and there's always that kind of like fake Iowa farm.
It's
you
definitely
know,
a
nobility.
Fake Iowa farm.
Yeah.
It's definitely a fake Iowa farm.
Yeah, that's kind of
bothersome. But he leaves
to
the
me.
Farm for long, long periods of time.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he goes insane. I mean, it's obvious. It's about a movie about a guy who has a cornfield who goes insane.
Builds a baseball field there and then sees spirits of other...
They go out of business. You know, I don't want to ruin it for you, but, you know.
You're not going to watch it anyway. Okay. So, the guy who wrote the book that the film Field of Dreams was based upon died.
He's a fiction writer and a novelist, a poet
that. Yeah, he wrote quite a lot. He wrote fiction, he wrote nonfiction, he wrote poetry. He had, I think, 30 books published.
No one had ever read any of the other ones.
No, nobody read most of anything. But, you know, he was an interesting guy. He's Canadian, right?
Okay.
And so he's writing and writing and writing. He's writing tons of stuff. A lot of his stuff was about baseball. His early work was mostly short stories about Native Americans.
Oh.
And then somebody said, well, yeah, but you're not Native American. And he said, well, I don't have to be. I'm a writer. I can just write about
anything.
Just
imagine whatever you want to do.
But he got a lot of flack for it. So then he started writing about baseball. So a lot of his stuff, he had three novels, I think, about baseball, or three or four about baseball. And he was kind of a mid-range guy, you know, back when they had those where, like, you could be a successful fiction writer if
you're
you
like
sold.
You're like a mid-list guy. You're mid-list, right. You know, they only publish, like, 10,000 copies of your book, and you sell, like, five or six, and you continue to, like, get a book deal and have your stuff there.
And then what happened was, I don't know when this happened. Like, you would probably know better than I, but maybe the 1990s or something, the tax laws changed, and the publishers had to start paying taxes on the
you
books
pay taxes
in your
on so like you would yeah whatever you have that's inventory
yeah
you would have to pay taxes on. So that's why authors would go out of print
Right. They quit. They quit. The publishing companies quit warehousing copies of people's books because they had to pay taxes on them.
Right.
So things go out of print, and then pretty much they kind of quit picking up these
authors. Yeah, it was like it's a mid-list book, and like you go like, all right, well, we sold the last one of that. We really don't need to put it back into print or whatever like that.
They just won't do it, so they pretty much
always... Now they'll have two copies of your book in a warehouse and never give you back the rights, because if like some other can sell a book became a movie or something like that, you would want to have the rights to that book.
Right.
They used to just revert back to the author upon, well, we finished your thing and your contract's over and we don't want it anymore. You can go around, shop it to
somebody else,
some other press or something like that.
You can have the rights back.
You will never get your rights back now. They will just go, oh, there's two copies in a warehouse that you can't go to and it's out in the middle of nowhere and maybe they're there and maybe they're not and we're never going to tell you when we sell those two and then we'll make two more.
Yeah.
So
that's that for them. So he was going on in that kind of way, and then, you know, that happened, and he sort of wasn't getting signed up anymore and everything. And then he was out for a walk one day, and he got hit by a car.
Ooh, what?
And he got hit by a car, and he fell, and he hit his head.
Ooh.
And once he got better, he didn't want to write anymore. He lost all interest.
That's like Stephen King got hit by a car and he didn't write for a long time.
He didn't write. Kinsella didn't write for like 14 years. All he did was play online Scrabble.
Oh, that seems like a good thing to do.
That was all he wanted to do.
I mean, what else do you want? You know?
I don't know. I mean, I play a lot of, what is that thing?
Writing's hard. I mean,
it is. It's hard.
It's work.
Hard. It's hard work. It's lonely work.
Nobody gives a crap either.
I know. It's awful.
Yeah, really awful. I don't blame him. If I ever wrote a book as famous as Shoeless Joe, I'd be like, okay, cool.
I'm done now.
Done.
Yeah. I read your thing. You had a thing in the All about writing. One of your advice columns was about writing novels.
Yeah, I think I told people to stop writing novels.
You did.
Just write a screenplay.
You did.
Stop screwing around.
No, but I mean, it was fairly recent.
I write this crap all the time for them.
Yeah, it was great. And I was reading it, and I was like, everything you write about writing, I find very... it motivates me to write.
Oh, good.
Even though you tell people to stop.
I tell people to stop or to move away from Brooklyn or, you know.
Yeah, it makes me want to write more. And then I was thrilled because you actually mentioned me.
Of course I did.
You said you talked about Plato and you said.
That was a great. I was thinking about Plato on the way here.
Yeah.
That I was thinking that I would try to write short stories based on Plato for the All or somebody else where
it's
you just
really
like
fun.
Whip it up or whatever.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's like a real challenge. But there's that woman. Who, with the unpronounceable name, who is shortlisted for the Booker Prize this year.
Oh.
And she wrote a book, a novel, like a thriller novel.
Yeah.
And she wrote it based on some guy's, you know, how to write a novel.
Booker Prize shortlist. Oh, sorry.
Is it
telling? I didn't mean for you to stop talking.
No, I'm waiting to hear it talk back at me.
Oh, it didn't do that.
It didn't do that?
Yeah,
I want to hear how to pronounce her name.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Keep talking.
Okay. So she, this author, like, she's a published literary fiction, critically acclaimed short story writer, and she was like, screw.
Tessa Moshfe?
That's her.
I know. I actually know Tessa Moshfe. I had no idea she was shortlisted for this.
Yeah, right?
She used to work with me over at a book publisher. She's a great author.
She's fantastic, right?
I had no idea she was shortlisted for this.
Yeah, yeah. So what she did was she was like all, you know, Ms. Hoity-toity literary fiction short story author, and she decided she was tired of that. She wanted to write a bestseller.
This is what she wrote as a bestseller?
Yeah.
It's a terrifying book, actually.
Have you read it?
It's a character study.
What's it called?
I'll give you my copy if I still have it.
It's called
Eileen, and it's
Eileen, right?
About this really crazy, unlikable lady who gets involved in a murder and stuff like
that.
No, I mean, Tessa is like somebody I knew when I first moved to New York and got a job at Overlook Press, and she's a terrific author. She wrote another book called Mick Somebody, and it's about a guy in stocks, like a guy who's drunk and in stocks and wakes up. And he's committed a crime. He doesn't know what it is. But no, she's a super talented.
So she wrote Eileen, right? And she wrote it. She said she decided she wanted to write a bestseller. So she got one of these books. It's like how to write a best-selling novel in 30 days.
Oh, is that
days.
What she did?
Yeah. And she took that advice from that book and basically wrote her book based on.
It's an amazing book. It's told from the point of view of this like crazy woman who lives with her father, and the father's insane, and
but she twisted it, like as she was writing it, she twisted it around and changed it. And
I mean, I had no idea that she wrote fiction. She was just like a young person who worked at the Overlook Press with me, and then you know, she was a sort of a experimental fiction writer, and mm-hmm. she did a reading over at Zinc Bar when I was the person who did the Zinc Bar series, and
uh-huh.
now she's like a world famous. I had no idea she was.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they could give the Booker Prize to an American person.
I didn't know they could either. I thought they had to give it to somebody.
She may be the first American who's ever been nominated for the Booker
Prize. I don't
know.
That's crazy. I thought it had to be, maybe she has dual citizenship.
I would definitely read that book. It's not long. It's like 250 pages, and if you get a chance to get your hands on it, go for it, because it's...
Okay. Right.
She's a great writer.
But that's what I thought. I thought it was interesting because, you know, like there are these strange how to write books or how to plot stories books, you know, some mm-hmm. of them very old and kind of weird. And if you write according to them, it's so strange. You know, I mean, it's like playing plausible Scrabble. It's like playing Scrabble with words that are plausible words but aren't really in the dictionary.
That's funny.
I never thought of doing that until
I was walking here and thinking about writing with Plato.
Yeah, it's like Plato is like, it's crazy, and it'll give you these. I can give you a couple of the plots that we've been working with.
Plato is coming out in paperback, I think, in
the
next...
Oh, so everybody's good. Yeah, I saw that you said that.
Like a month or two or something like that. So that, just to close up News of the Dead.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. So...
Oh, you got anything
else? Okay, wait. So,
dead people?
No, it's the same guy. So then he went back to writing.
This is
again.
Thomas Kinsella.
Yeah, right. Thomas Kinsella.
Is that his name?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, no.
Tessa's not dead.
She's a young person. W.P. Kinsella.
W.P. Kinsella.
William Patrick Kinsella. So then he started writing again, finally, and then he had diabetes for years and years and years and years, and since he's Canadian, he got doctor-assisted death.
Oh, they you go back to Canada and they'll kill you for free?
Yeah.
Nice.
So he got killed for free. He's 81 years old.
I mean, I'll kill you for free, too. I love killing Canadians.
No, they're nice.
Oh, they're nice. Everybody's nice.
No.
They're polite. But underneath that, they're like, meh.
No, they're nice.
Oh, they're fine. Whatever.
Fine.
We're not on in Canada.
No, we're not.
Okay. I mean, we could be on the internet.
No, people are listening to us in Canada.
Oh, hey, Canada. What's going on?
Hey, Canada.
I'm sure you guys are great. Whatever.
We love you, eh? Okay.
Hoser. Edward Albee. I wrote about Edward Albee in high school,
and I wrote
to him.
Oh, you did?
And
did
he responded to me. So we had correspondence for years. He was a playwright. He won 3 Pulitzer Prizes. I think he's the only American playwright to ever win 3 Pulitzer Prizes, I think.
Maybe.
He won the most recent one like maybe 20 years ago when I was still
mm-hmm.
in college.
Mm-hmm.
But he came the year before that. We performed Zoo Story, and I performed it in front of him.
Oh, which character were you?
I was the straight character, the really boring one.
Yeah.
I wanted to be the really fun character who was all crazy and telling like the 8-page long monologue and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I lost track.
Wait, but you performed Zoo Story in front of Edward
Yeah,
Albee?
He thought it was okay. He thought I was fine, but the other guy he was mad at because he screwed up this 8-page monologue. And it was like, well, everybody screws that up. It's like this winding stream of consciousness, crazy. And he was mad. Because at the end of Zoo Story, you're supposed to have like a knife sticking out of you like this.
Yeah,
and it's like,
well,
we don't have any money, man. Like, we don't have any fancy knife stabbing, holding out of it money. So he was mad at us. But now he's dead.
Well, that serves him right.
He
should have been nice.
Wrote Zoo Story, wrote Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, some other great plays. And wrote a bunch of crap, too. But
He
didn't like my play. I sent him my play called Silly Like Typhoid when I was in college. And he wrote back and he was this is the worst play I've ever read.
That's so fantastic.
I sent him poems. He was like, these don't even seem like poems at all. Like, why don't you write like W.H. Auden? I'm like, well, I'm not W.H. Auden. He's like, I don't know anything about poetry, but unless you write like W.H. Auden, like, who cares?
That's fantastic.
So Edward Albee is dead.
That's fantastic.
I'm sorry, Edward. You seem like a nice guy.
Somebody
lived out in Montauk in like a castle.
Yeah.
He had like $1 billion.
Drank Montauk hops ale, whatever.
That's what made me think of it.
Probably. Thanks. Yeah, we're done.
That's the end of the news
of the
day.
That's the end of the news of the dead. We're over that. Did anyone call us today? Did you watch?
I think the phone must be broken.
201-209-9368.
We didn't hear from David. We didn't hear from Danny D.
We're not hearing from
Kat from Chicago never calls in. She doesn't love me.
She doesn't love you anymore.
I know. It's.
Hey, more baseball news.
Yeah.
LA Dodgers.
How they doing?
Yasiel Puig. The Dodgers beat the Yankees. They were putting the Yankees in New York City. Everybody else has beaten the Yankees, right?
Everybody's beaten the Yankees.
And so Yasiel Puig, at the end of the game, he caught the final out. He caught the ball for the final out in the Yankees-Dodgers game.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little group of Dodger fans sitting in the stands, right?
Oh, right.
And
I know where this is going.
Yeah, and they're like, yay, yay, yay. And he said, oh, yeah, here, have the ball, guys. And he tossed the ball up into the fans, and it hit this girl in the face and knocked her tooth out.
And then he was hanging out with her.
Was he?
Yeah, there was pictures of her hanging out with him.
Yeah, she had a big bloody gap where her tooth
used to
be.
Hit her right in the face. I know. It was like, ow.
Is he going to pay for her dental work? I mean, geez.
Maybe.
You know, that
he's
was a
got a lot of money. Hmm. I think he's got a lot of money. He got signed for a lot of money. He's like one of those Cuban guys who hits 50 home runs a year or whatever.
Yeah, so he could pay for a tooth.
He was in the minors for a while, but he's still pretty good.
Got a Wex and Wob update.
Yeah, those guys should both be fired, basically.
Yeah, well, they will be. I'm sure they will be.
They fired the offensive coordinator after getting, like, giving up 40 points or something like that. It was like, that's not the guy's fault.
That's the problem. It's the defense. It's you guys. These guys, Wex Wyan and Wob Wyan, are twin
brothers.
Twin brothers. And Wex is the head coach of the Buffalo Bills football team, and he hired his brother Wob, who got fired.
I like Rob, don't like Rex. Rex seems like he reminds me a lot of Chris Christie. He's kind of totally full of crap, and he's all talk and stuff like that.
Well, Wob's not much better, but Wob looks like he'd be fun.
Rob seems fun because he's got long hair. He didn't get like the lap band surgery. He's like a fat guy with long hair.
Well, that's my update. The Wex and Wob update.
Yeah, what happened?
Okay, so. Wob did get lap band surgery.
He got the lap band surgery,
and he had a lot of complications, and it didn't work.
So they took it out. That's not
so
good.
Here's the update. Wex has had his band taken out in solidarity with Wob.
Oh, that's nice.
So now neither one of them has lap bands.
So you're telling me Rex is going to get fat again?
He is.
Oh, that's terrific. I think his wife must have been involved, too, because like, my wife must have been like, look, I like you as a big fat guy, but I don't even care about you as a thing.
I don't know what's going on with them. His wife has got the feet, you know. He's got that foot
fetish.
I
think they both must have the feet.
I don't know.
I think there's a lot of feet going around.
There's something
going on. I see that someone's calling now, but it's too late.
Okay, no, put them on.
No, it's too late.
No, put them on.
We have 3 minutes left.
Put them on. Right now.
Hold on.
Golly.
Jeez. What line is that? Hello, caller. You are possibly on the air. It's a Sportsy Talk.
Yeah, no, I hope to be. I just wanted to call to make sure the phone line's working.
Yeah, the phone line is
definitely working. The phone line is working.
So it's more that people
are... Here comes more Coney Island.
More Coney Island's coming up next, so stay tuned.
Thank you.
Yeah, the phone line is working fine, just nobody wanted to call in. Because they love us. They're so happy that we're back.
We're back together again, at last. Thank you. I've got all these football
injuries. What else were we going to talk about? I was going to talk about Tim Tebow hit his first home run.
Oh, did he?
He's hanging out with the Mets. You know, he signed with the Mets.
He signed with them. He's not hanging out with them. He signed with them.
Technically gets paid to...
I was going to talk about the World Series of Hockey, but I guess I won't.
Yeah, what is the World Series of Hockey?
Oh, it's just something.
Because who cares?
It's some kind of marketing deal
just
with
hockey.
Just
seems stupid. Well, now they don't want to do the Olympics anymore.
Who doesn't?
The NHL is not going to break for the Olympics, so they're going to send a bunch of scrubs over there again, which I think is better.
All right.
Because, like, who cares if NHL players are there or not? We'll have a better chance if all those Canadian NHL players are someplace else.
I thought the Olympics was supposed to be for amateur athletes anyway,
wasn't it? It should be. Because, like, you know, once in a while we used to lose at basketball, but now, like, we couldn't possibly lose.
Yeah.
And if we did, it would be, like, a national disgrace of some kind. But hockey starts up pretty soon, then. I think
we're not going to lose anything. When President Trump is president.
We'll be winning so much it'll be boring.
We'll win all the time. Making America great again.
It's not going to be a President Trump.
Who's going to be the president? You think Hillary's going to win? I don't think Hillary's going to win.
I mean, win. I mean, just she's not going to lose. Is I guess how I'll put it.
Like, I don't know.
No one's winning.
I don't know, man.
No one wins. There won't be any winning.
No one wins in this
Someone
election.
Is definitely going
to
lose.
But mark your calendars. Plan to join us on our election night tailgate.
End of the world. Apocalyptic nightmare.
Yeah,
time.
Time.
We should do some t-shirts for that.
Oh, yeah.
What else do you got?
That's the whole show? I had a whole lot of other stuff.
Do we have any more booze?
No, we'll drink that out in the parking lot? We don't have any more booze.
Oh.
No, it was just to try the... Thank you to listener Sebastian.
Yeah, thank you very much for sending us... lactic acid.
Lactic acid lemonade.
It should sound more German. It's like Chabesso.
That's
French or something.
Yeah, I don't know what
I don't do accents. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County. We're at 91.9 FM and all over the world. You can listen to us on WFMU.org.
And we're Sportsy Talk again, thank God. You're going to be back next week, right?
I will be back. Yeah, the bookstore goes back to being really quiet until January, so I don't think it'll be a big issue.
All right.
I'll just be late like normal.
No, don't be late.
Okay. All right, well, thanks for listening to the show or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Hey, everybody, thanks for inviting us into your home tonight. May God bless.
You are listening to Morricone Island on WFMU. I'm your host, Stephanie Levins, here every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time in glorious downtown Jersey City, playing the soundtrack hits from the past, present, and future. And this week is no exception. We have a special guest with us. It's Paul Hazinger, film composer based out of L.A., born in Austria, but many may know him from his mid to late 80s era stint with the great Tangerine Dream. He had 5 years with them, recorded 15 albums, did 4 international tours, and was a part of the soundtracks the Tangerine Dream composed for Miracle Mile, Near Dark, Canyon Dreams, Shy People. He left the band in 1991 to pursue a solo career, signed to Private Music, which was a label from past Tangerine Dream member Peter Baumann. Put out a number of records. Blue Room, which I believe is unreleased. 94, his first solo record came out, Future Primitive. 96, World Without Rules, and Score. Over the years, he's collaborated with the likes of French electronic band Lightwave, Brian Williams, a.k.a. Les Mord, Nona Hendrix, John Hassell. In 98, he was asked to join the film composer team surrounding Graham Revell as a music programmer and arranger on films none other than Chinese Box, The Negotiator, The Siege, Pitch Black, Lara Croft Tomb Raider, eventually going off on his own to score a number of films. His first solo feature was Crazy Beautiful, which was a second collaboration with director John Stockwell, who he has a long history with. And others include Turistas, The First Crank, Shoot 'Em Up, Death Race remake, The Three Musketeers, and Underworld. He's also scored for a number of TV shows over the years. Showtime's Golden Globe-nominated series Sleeper Cell got a start in 2000 with HBO Films' television movie Cheaters, and more recently on the Walking Dead spinoff series Fear the Walking Dead, which is in its second season now. Most recently, just a few weeks ago, is the third season for another AMC series, Halt and Catch Fire, which a soundtrack is now out by our friends at Lakeshore Records. I'm here with composer Paul Hazinger, and he is the composer of a new Lakeshore release. It's digitally first. It came out in August from our friends at Lakeshore. A physical CD copy released, I believe, September 16th, and with any luck, we'll get some final in the future as well. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
You finally had a release for Halt and Catch Fire, the AMC TV series, and it started its third season. Why now is the timing for the release?
Various reasons, but most of them to do with the show going through changes and facing an uncertain future. And we didn't know if there was going to be a third season or not. When that was announced, it also made sense then to look at the music. There's always been a big response to the music, a lot of appreciation out there. A lot of inquiries about will there be a soundtrack. So when we got the go-ahead for the third season, we also then mentioned it would be a good time to compile the music and the music feel of the show and put soundtracks out also to help the third season to some degree and to summarize how far we've gotten with the development of the show. So this is what these soundtracks are for. Now is the score soundtrack. By the end of the season, hopefully there will be a song soundtrack.
It's a compilation of music from all three seasons, correct?
Yes, because by the time the third season airs, we've completed post-production of the third season. So it's all three basically that are represented on the soundtrack.
And so the series takes place in 1983 back, I guess, in Texas, Silicon Prairie. It's all about personal computing and whatnot back then. And the music is evocative of that time period back in 1983, which, you know, oddly, your career kind of started around that time. You're born and raised in Austria.
Correct.
And you studied music at the University of Vienna?
At the Academy and at the University. I studied first music to become a music teacher, and then later on took up studies in musicology, which is where I have my degree.
In 1983, so what were you doing in 1983?
Well, I was in Vienna. You know, I didn't grow up in Vienna, but I studied music in Vienna. And at the time was already very busy as a session player in the Vienna circuit, and then also touring across Europe, but mostly with German and Austrian acts. So I was one of the hired guns of that studio scene, and that's how I had access to Tangerine Dream, because they were auditioning player for a UK tour that they needed a third keyboardist for and a quick replacement. So they were basically just auditioning players because they had a studio in Vienna or near Vienna, and auditioning people. And I was one of the guys in the bunch and apparently got the gig.
You were only with them for, say, five or 6 years, but in that time, seems like a prolific time, 15 albums, at least five or so of those are soundtracks.
You know, I was 23 at the time, so it was, at that age, it's pretty easy to go fast and learn quickly, and I